today as we come to the table.
I'll allow the delusion to keep going so far that, you know, you're going to start thinking you're animals and you're whatever, and you're, that's already happening, isn't it? It's going to keep going. God says, I'll turn you over to a debased mind. And then logic and reality leaves. There's no logic or reality anymore. And the thing that concerns me about it is the more that a society becomes that way, the more it becomes normalized and accepted, and more people can't see reality anymore. Listen, guys, you've got to stay in the Word and prayer. You've got to be able to see reality. You've got to speak the truth. But how do we do it? In love. In love. Our hearts should be broken. And they need to know that. And they need to see it. And they need to hear it.
You might have heard that our world is on a path towards some serious consequences and reckoning. Satan realizes his time here is running out, so he's pulling out all the stops to take down as many as possible. He tricks people into living in a fantasy about who they are and their gender. He keeps them from catching a glimpse of the truth. That's how he leads them on a journey far from connecting with God. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. So, how do you, as someone who believes in Christ, connect with these types of people? Do you just despise them? Today, Pastor Mark invites you to share the truth with these folks, but remember to do it with love. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
This is interesting to me that he's going to make an example of the serpent and say, look, you're still, I mean, all the snakes are going to suffer the consequence of that serpent, whatever he was, that had the intelligence and the ability to allow Satan to enter him and to deceive Eve in the garden. He says, I'm restoring every other animal but you. You're staying on your belly and eating dust. But the serpents, again, they'll be nice. They'll be friendly. I know it's hard to think of that way. If you hate them, which I don't, but I know that a lot of people do, you won't have fear of them. That won't be the thing. They're still just going to be consigned to have to crawl around on the ground. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So in Zion, which is his holy mountain there in Jerusalem, there will not be any animals that do any destruction. So pretty wild picture there of what's going to be happening during the millennial kingdom. Now in chapter 66, the last chapter, he says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? In other words, you can't contain me. There's no house that I live in. Your temple's not going to do it. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. So I made everything. You can't really make me something for me. I made it. But on this one, I will look. So you want to please me? Don't try to build me a house that makes me happy. Yeah, you want to have a church to meet in. Yes, David and Solomon did a good thing by building the temple. Nothing wrong in that. But he's saying, look, this is what really matters to me. It's not the building. Look what he says. He says, but this one I will look on him who is poor, that means humble, and of a contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. Isn't that great? He says, if you want to please me, be humble and tremble at my word. That's what I care about. That's what's going to get my attention in heaven. Not you going to church, not you doing religious things, none of that. It's trembling at my word. And you guys have heard this before, but it is so true. Let it sink in. And you know this, the church is not a building. It's you. You are the church. You are. You're the church walking around. You're the church living it out. And he goes, when I look at you, my church, I see your heart. Do I see humility? Do I see contrition? That is a shrinking. It's all this kind of humble and lack of pride and all that. He says, if you're doing that and you read my word and you tremble at my word, he says, that's what pleases me. That's where my connection is. And that's where we find our connection to God. He says, here's what they're like, though. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. In other words, there's no difference. You know, you're supposedly giving me offerings, but it's no difference as if you killed a person or just an animal. It doesn't mean anything in your heart. Therefore, it doesn't mean anything to me in heaven. He says, he who offers a grain offering is if he offers swine's blood. It's almost like an abomination because your heart's wrong. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their delusions. That's interesting to me. God says, if you choose to rebel against me and delight in the world opposite my word, and you don't repent, I will choose delusions for you to believe in. And the Bible says in the last days that God will actually send on the earth, for those who don't listen, strong delusion. Wow. Do we see some strong delusion going on today? There are so many people in our nation and around the world that are not just deluded, they are strongly deluded. And so God sends that. He goes, look, if you don't want me, I'll allow you to believe that nonsense and I'll drive it deep into your heart. I mean, I just look at some of the things that we have believed and are believing in our culture today. Common sense. I mean, listen, I don't want to make some, as they say, soapbox issue. Just let me just give you one example. You guys all know this. Common sense from heaven. There are boys and there are girls and that's it. That's just common sense. That's not a religious statement, a group statement, we believe this, that's not our banner. That's just obvious. I mean, it's almost embarrassingly obvious. You look at it, you go, how did we get to a place to where people are actually confused about that? And they say they don't know or they're making decisions. God sent that. That's strong delusion from God. God says, you really want to believe that? There you go. And you know what? I'll let you not only believe that, we're not going to let it stop. You're going to run out of letters. I'm not making fun of that community. Does everybody understand my heart? I love them. My best friend was in that lifestyle and died of AIDS. And I was there with him at his bed as the brain cancer was causing him to bleed in different areas, even out of his head from this cancer, from the AIDS that he had. Sharing the gospel with him to the very end. My heart broken. Loved him. And it's not a matter of, you know, I never want to make just little statements, little kind of trite statements, you know. And I think we need to be careful about some of them. You know, I understand that, especially as a younger believer. We make little statements that, you know, kind of make the point that are true. But is it really something that's going to drive people away from us or show that we love them? They've got to hear that we love them. And they've got to see that we love them. And that comes through a life and a heart. People can tell if you love them. And my friend, he knew I loved him. I could go to him and I'd say, you need to repent, man. You've got to repent and turn to Jesus or you're not going to go to heaven. And he knew, okay, I don't agree with you, but I know you love me. And he told me that. I don't agree with you, but I know if there's anybody that loves me, Mark Kirk loves me. I said, I do love you with all my heart. And I said, I'm not going to give up until the day you're out of here. I'm not giving up. And that's the kind of heart we have to have. So when I make these statements, I'm not saying it in kind of some whimsical, you know, prideful, arrogant, I'm right, you're wrong way. I say it with a broken heart. My point is, when a society comes to a place they cannot recognize natural gender, we're in trouble. And that's where the Bible says God will send strong delusion and allow this. And that's when I'm, you know, and again, I wasn't being, you know, flippant about the letters. Please understand that. And I feel a need to further speak on that because I respond. And I'm not that I understand that. But my point was, it'll never end. I'll allow the delusion to keep going so far that, you know, you're going to start thinking you're animals and you're whatever. And you're, that's already happening, isn't it? It's going to keep going. God says, I'll turn you over to a debased mind. And then logic and reality leaves. There's no logic or reality anymore. And the thing that concerns me about it is the more that a society becomes that way, the more it becomes normalized and accepted, and more people can't see reality anymore. Listen, guys, you've got to stay in the Word and prayer. You've got to be able to see reality. You've got to speak the truth, but how do we do it? In love. In love. Our hearts should be broken, and they need to know that, and they need to see it, and they need to hear it. And so, again, he says, that's the one that, you know, that I'll send delusions. I'll bring their fears on them, verse 4. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes. And they chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. I have that underlined. Yeah, if you tremble at his word, listen, this is for you. It's not for those who don't tremble at his word. This is for you if you tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, that is your persecution. And they said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your glory. You know, they're mocking. He says, let the Lord be glorified that they may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. So they're going to see that God's standing with you. And one day they'll be ashamed. I love this. The sound of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple. Oh, what's that going to be like? Listen to what it says. The voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. God's going to be speaking from his temple in heaven, and he's going to be speaking from his temple when he's on the earth and he establishes that. What's his voice going to sound like coming out of the temple? Wow. Now God shifts gears and talks about the nation of Israel, which he promised to bring back in the last days and give birth to. Look at this, verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in a day, or a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. This is a prophecy of 1948 when they became a nation in one day. Who would have believed that they couldn't be a nation for 2,000 years, and in one day, God makes them a nation again? If you'd have told people that, they would have said, there's no way. You can't just have a new nation born in a day. And God's like, watch me. And here's what happened. In 1948, May 14th, 1948, the UN of all places, which is now just always Israel's enemy, you tell me God wasn't involved in that, making them do this. They said, you know, because of all they've been through in the Holocaust, the Jews have a right to a homeland. Well, David Ben-Gurion, who was the leader of the Jewish people at that time in the land of Israel, he took advantage of that. He stood up immediately and said, guess what? I declare today that the nation of Israel is a nation, and they became a nation, and it was born in a day, and everybody's jaws were just dropped open. It was glorious. Beautiful to see God just fulfilling his word, even as he said, in a day. And of course, we know what happened. Everybody attacked them from all sides, and they had this ragtag army. I mean, it's funny. I'll never forget the first time driving into Jerusalem, and you're driving. There's different ways you can get in. Whatever road we went in that first day we went in, they had their tanks. They left all their tanks there from 1948 so that it would be a memorial, and you could see the tanks they had and the battle they won. It looks like dumpsters with cannons on them. I'm not joking. If you get to see them, it looks like it's about the same metal of your dumpster. It's the dumpster out there with a turret on it, a tank turret, you know, and windows. I'm like, that's all they had. It's almost like they put wheels on dumpsters and said, let's go, you know. I mean, and they defeated all the five different armies from all sides, surrounded them and came in from all sides. They defeated all of them. Now, did they defeat them? Who defeated them? God Almighty. Why? Because he said, in a day they'll be born, and when I bring them back, they're not going to be kicked out. They're staying there. And by the way, as much as they hate war, as much as we all hate war, every single time since then they've been attacked, you know what's happened? They've gained more land. It's almost like God's saying, leave them alone. They're the apple of my eye. We're attacking. And then they get more land. We're attacking again. They get more land. Verse 9, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb, says God? No. So if I'm going to bring Israel back to this place and give them their time of birth, am I going to just stop it? No. They're going to do it. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Amen. Listen, we need to rejoice with Jerusalem. And be glad with her, all you who love her. Do you love Jerusalem? Do you love the Jews? Do you love Israel? Do you love God? Yes. Then rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice. You know, when you get to go to Israel, you feel that joy in your heart. You rejoice with God. You rejoice with his people. And by the way, it's not that we've said this. The Jews aren't perfect. Matter of fact, they're pretty bad right now. But we know what they're going to be in the future. And we honor them and we love them because God said to love them. There's something special about that land and about what he's going to do in his people in the future. They're our future brothers and sisters. Rejoice with her, all you. Well, who love her, and then rejoice with her, all you who mourn for her. So if you're mourning for Israel and all that you see happening and you rejoice at their blessings, he says, rejoice, because I'm gonna restore them. You're going to see this, that you may feed and be satisfied with the consolation of her bosom, that you may drink deeply and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. And we will be. We'll get to rejoice in her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. There's where that song comes from. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Isn't that great? Peace and glory like a river. You see a river just flowing. It doesn't stop. It's this nonstop flowing river of glory and just peace that God gives. That's what it's going to be like in the kingdom. Then you shall feed. On her sides shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. That is, the world's going to cater again to the Jews during that time. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Nobody comforts like a mom. Dads just can't do it. Now, there's only one way that a man, I think, can almost have. I think granddads had the ability to bring that kind of comfort to it. Probably not if the real mom was there, but I tend to think that. Anyway, there's something about a mom. There's something about a mom. There's something about you ladies that there's a softness to you. This is, again, one of the reasons that it's so diabolical, you know, about confusing all the gender things and all that. There's something that you offer to a child that a man can never give them. And likewise, there's something a man offers to the children that a mom can never give. You know, but there's nothing like a mom. And you know that. Everybody here, you realize that. That's who, when there's the real tough situations, she can bring a comfort that nobody else can. And he uses that analogy. He says, that's the kind of comfort I'm going to bring you. It's not going to be like your buddy that, you know, suck it up, get tough, you know. I'm going to be comforting you like a mom. You can run to me, and I'm going to give you what you need. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind. Again, remind you of that vision that Elisha, when he saw the whirlwind come down, and the chariot with the whirlwind and the fire to get Elijah, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by the sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many. This is the second coming. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. Again, eating unclean animals. Again, here's the main principle. They were disobeying the God's word, and he's speaking of some of the unclean animals, again, prior to rise, Peter, kill, and eat. Now, I don't know that mice are included in the rise, Peter, kill, and eat. I would say just rise and kill, when it comes to the mouse. But they did have in biblical times, in certain generations, I know at least I believe the Romans did this, and of course this was long before the Romans, they had a delicacy. And again, some of the things that are delicacies, you know, it's interesting, lobster used to be the poor man's food. Did y'all know that? Lobster was considered gross. They said this is like, it's like kind of like the roaches of the sea, they called them. And now lobster's like, you know, well, you know. They would take mice in the Roman days and they would stuff them with pork. Sounds tasty, huh? And they'd roast them, and it was a delicacy. Now, again, every generation is different. I'm glad that's not in this generation. But to God, he says, these are the animals that were unclean. He says, you're basically disobeying me and you're eating unclean animals. It was a picture that you, Israel, you are unclean. Repent, you're unclean. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations. Again, remember, during the millennial kingdom, he's going to scatter everyone back out. The sheep and the goats, they'll scatter out, fill the nations. We will be scattered out and fill the nations. We'll be serving the Lord. I had a buddy call me yesterday and say, where do you think we'll be serving in the millennial kingdom? I'm like, man, I don't know. You know, here's what I would answer, and I bet you every one of you maybe we'll say the same thing. I want to be in Jerusalem. But there's not going to be room for all of us there, so sorry, guys. No, anyway. But I would love to be in Jerusalem. And I'm sure that, you know, people have different areas, but he says, I'm going to send us out. He's going to send his people throughout the nations, and watch what will happen. To Tarshish and Pul, to Lud, they'll draw the bow and Tubal and Javan to the coastlands afar off who have not heard of my fame nor seen my glory. So this will be during the millennial kingdom when people are being born. And again, they'll be sharing the gospel and Jesus with people during that time as well. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So we'll be going among the world and the new ones that are born and the kids. Hey, Jesus, he lives in Jerusalem. He died for you on the cross. And if you accept him, he'll pay for your sins or whatever. It's kind of wild to think that's going to be going on to a degree in the kingdom. They're still going to be hearing about his glory. They're going to have a choice to reject him or not accept him. And by the way, I'll make this quick comment because we're going to cover it on Signs of the Times on Friday's show, but I got a question. Well, how's that all going to happen? Is Satan going to be free during the 1,000-year reign? Remember, during that 1,000 years, Satan and the demonic realm, they're locked up. So there's not going to be temptation from Satan and the demonic realm. There's just going to be our own wicked hearts to contend with. No, not ours. We have our new hearts and our new bodies. But those that are going to be on the earth that are not yet in their new bodies, they still have the old nature. And what it proves is, get this, here's what it proves. There are going to be sinners in the millennial kingdom. And at the end of the 1,000-year reign, the millennial kingdom, God's going to allow Satan to come out to gather those who are going to rebel against God at the very end. And there's going to be one final battle right before what we call heaven. Remember the new heavens and the new earth? You think, how in the world could anybody, after 1,000 years of seeing Jesus and his glory, choose to be with Satan and side with him? Here's what it proves. It is not your environment or where you grew up that's the problem. It is the fallen heart of man that's the problem. And the millennial kingdom is going to lay that argument to rest once and for all, because everybody has a choice, and here they're going to live in a perfect environment and still choose sin. Amazing. It just shows the heart, our hearts. Then they shall bring, verse 20, all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of the nations on horses and chariots and in litters and mules and camels on my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. So people are going to be bringing the Jews to Jerusalem. And he says, and I also will take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. So they'll be able to serve there on the Temple Mount. Some of those that'll be born during that time that love God from the Jewish descendancy. He says, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make shall remain before me. Again, that's the very end, says the Lord. So shall your descendants remain and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. This is another enigma. It's not here, but in one of the other books of the Bible, and it may mention some in Isaiah, but God talks about during the 1,000-year reign, there are still going to be, you know, sacrifices and feasts we're going to. Now, it won't be sacrificed for sin like we know it today. Don't be confused by that. And most believe it'll simply be memorial type things, and that may very well be right. But we're still going to be feasting and all these things happening and observing, you know, the Sabbath in some form and fashion among the Jews anyway. So it's going to be a very interesting time when this takes place. All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Now that's kind of a tough way to end the book, right? But he ends the book really, I think, almost as kind of a reminder of kind of that warning. Those who choose to reject Jesus Christ have a very bad future. And I think sometimes you have to know the bad news before you're driven to the good news. And this is the bad news. Is that you're going to be separated from God forever if you don't choose him. But guys, notice this, and I don't quite know what this means. I don't want to find out. Jesus quoted this in the New Testament, and he said this. He said, for those who go to heaven, they go to heaven. He says, but for those who go to Gehenna, who are going to be in the eternal lake of fire, he said, it's a place where their worm never dies and the fire doesn't go out. What do you mean, their worm? I don't want to know, and I'm glad I'll never have to. Why would anyone take a chance? Look, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, why would you take a chance on your eternity? Why would you take a chance? Don't take a chance. Make a decision. Make a decision. I want to choose Jesus Christ. He died for me. I believe it. Tell him, I believe you died for me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I don't even want to know what it means their worm will never die. I don't want to know what it means their fire will never go out. You know what? I want to rejoice always with the Lord and his people in the kingdom of God. Amen, right?
We'd like to thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching verse by verse through the book of Isaiah. The first half of this grand prophetic book contains a warning for the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. See, the rulers of these kingdoms had given in to idol worship and forgotten the ways of God that their predecessors followed. But God was not without mercy, and he sent prophets like Isaiah to bring warning and encourage people to turn back to God. And while the world is much different now than it was in Isaiah's time, you and I have received a word from the Lord in today's message. If we turn away from sin and run with all of our might into the arms of Jesus, he will forgive us of our sins and make us into new creations. If you'd like to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, or you'd like to get connected with the ministry of Come to the Table, you can reach us by phone at 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. We also invite you to visit us online at thewaymedia.net, where you'll find out more about the radio programs we offer to provide sound biblical teaching over the airwaves. And if you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to welcome you to join us for a service at Calvary Knoxville. Just click the Calvary Knoxville button in the menu bar, and you'll be redirected to our church website for more information. Well, we're running out of time for today. Be sure to join us next time for another broadcast of Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.